Well, it sure is good to be here this morning. To see all of you. You're not visitors anymore. I think I know everybody, pretty much everybody here. So it's good to, it's always good to come here, even if I don't preach, just to see the people. And we got family here. And Tommy said it was good. He's glad I came to preach for the church this morning. And they came up to our place yesterday afternoon to help us out. And I don't think I made it very, I made it clear that I appreciated it, but it's beyond that. They lifted a big load from us. And so I really appreciated them coming up. Family's wonderful. Amen. I have a paper here. Actually, my message is concerning choices. And, you know, when I think about standing between God's people and God and preach the word to a group of people that made a commitment to Christ, they're Christians. And that's, I know I'm talking to Christians this morning, without a doubt. I'm still at awe, you know, when I think about that. You know, when God called me to take His word and present it to the church and the prisons wherever I go. And it's so powerful. His word is so powerful and it's so true. And I want to encourage you this morning in God's word and not drive your stakes too deep here. Because we're not going to stay here. We're going to move on to a better place. And I want to bring out two different points this morning of choices that people have made. Even before that, I like to think of speed limits. When you drive, this morning we almost, I thought we were going to be late for church. And the time kind of slipped away from us. It takes about an hour to drive down here. And so I made a comment to the wife, Martha, there. And she said, "You want me to drive?" We thought it was going to be late, so she wanted to drive. And immediately I thought about that little paper here that I got. But it is, it's a speed limit, then it's a hymn behind it. I don't know if you ever heard them or not. You probably did, but I always like this. If you drive 45 mile an hour, God will take care of you. If you go 55, guide me, O great Jehovah. If you drive 65, nearer my God to thee. 75, nearer, still nearer. 85, this world is not my home. Then you go drive 95, Lord, I'm coming home. What happens if you drive 100? Precious memories. That's free. That's a choice. So how do you drive? How do I drive? 6 verses I'd like to read before I get into my message this morning is found in St. John, chapter 14, the first 6 verses. One of my favorites. This is what we should do in our life every day. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He said, there is no man will come unto the Father but through him. Now I'd like to, in Luke chapter 16, it's Lazarus and the rich man. Make some comments on that. I'm not sure how much I'm going to read, but there's a certain rich man in verse 19 of chapter 16 in Luke. There's a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. I'm going to stop there a little bit. How many times do we think, or maybe we forget that we're going to leave this world? And sometimes it's really quick. And then sometimes people suffer. You know, there's times that I get so busy, I think I forget about the next world to come. I think I forget about dying, that it's going to happen. And these two people here that Jesus gave the illustration, he gave us this story. And it says in 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I don't know how often you hear the word hell preached in this church. I don't know. It don't matter. But I'm just one that I have to believe, and I have to tell the Christians, and have to tell young people and children, that there's two ways in life. There's a way that leads to glory. That's through Christ. And there's a way you don't have to do nothing, that you're going to go into a burning pit of hell. It's amazing. I appreciate our Sunday school this morning. It was a blessing to sit there and listen. But this lady that was forgiven her sins, that had a heart for Christ, she wanted to be there. She wanted to just barge right in that home, and she wanted to be with Jesus. Her faith took her there. Her belief took her there. But I think a lot of times that people forget about hell because we were born all together in sin. These beautiful little babies that we love so dear have the sin nature as soon as they're born. That is just kind of hard for me to grasp that. The day will come that they're going to have to make decision. They're going to have to make a choice whom they will serve. Back in the time, the Old Testament, Joshua, he asked the church, he asked his people around him, he said, now who are you going to serve? The people from your fathers that were before the flood, the Amorites. Are you going to serve those people? Are you going to serve them? He said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He settled it. He made a choice that they're going to serve God. And that is very important, that we not shy away from the talking about this terrible place, for it is built for Satan and his angels. It is not made for us. It is built for Satan, for the devil and his angels. But if you follow Satan, that's where you end up at. That's where it is. Very clear. There's two roads. One that leads to hell and one leads to glory. And Jesus paved that road for us, so to speak. There's some bumps in it. There's some curves in it. But we need to stay on that small and narrow road. Amen. It'll take us home. I want to read about a little bit about heaven when I get through this one here. And also says in Isaiah chapter 5, you look it up sometime, it says that hell shall be enlarged. I'm not sure what all that means, what all it's saying. But I really believe that there's so many people choosing to follow Satan that hell is going to be full. What is hell? Hell is an outer darkness. It's a bottomless pit. One place it says it's a lake of fire. So really, how do you describe it? I really can't. But the bigger thing, I think the hardest thing that people are going to face that are going to hell is that they're separated from God. Away from God. Outer darkness. Lonely. Gnashing of teeth. Torment. This guy here, the rich man, opened his eyes in hell. He saw, and he was able to think and remember. He was able to do all these things. And guess what he asked for? He asked for one drop of water to cool his tongue. What about this little tongue that does all a lot of damage that we cannot control? We can bless God with it. We can also tear our brothers and sisters down with it. He asked for one drop of water to cool his tongue, but he said, I am in torment in these flames. I work on the lake some. I'm not as much anymore, but I work with Scott, my son. That's what he does. He builds piers on the lake. And I think about that sometimes. If you look out over Lake Hardwell, then you look out over Lake Kiwi, big, big bodies of water. There was a lot of waters in Pennsylvania as well, where we lived for many years. Lake Erie was big. A lot of water. Many, many waters. But what I always think about, you know, when I look out over that water, how powerful it is. And that word where it says it's as a lake of fire is what hell is. I think about that. And Jesus came to deliver us from that. And you notice also, now one thing I was never sure about this story. Because if you read on, what caused the rich man to go to hell? What did he do that caused him to go to hell? Is it because he did not care about the poor man? It caused you to think. What was the reason? I think there's Christians probably that don't take care of poor people. Or could be. If you read that, look on down to verse 27, it says, and he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. I think the rich man didn't want nothing to do with God. He had everything in order. He wanted nothing to do with God at all. He did not care for the poor people. He didn't. But they brought him at his gate, and he did not take care of him. The dogs came and licked his Lazarus' sores. This is what I think that was a problem. He had five brothers that were in the same shape that he was in. They did not believe in God. They were living the same way, very careless. He says, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. He was concerned about his brothers. But the thing of it is, he waited too long. He waited till it was too late. If he could have turned out of this place of torment and then go back home, I believe that he would have been probably the best missionary. That's a challenge I want to give you this morning, is that we don't wait too long. You know, if there's someone in our family, if there's a neighbor that we need to witness to, let's be bold in Christ and talk to them and challenge them about eternity. What is coming? There's two places. And then people need to hear that. Let's not wait till it's too late. The rich man waited until it was too late. He was worried about his brethren in his father's house. And he says, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. The rich man was not satisfied. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I love that. One of them did come. We just come through the resurrection that gave us life. Jesus died on the cross. His blood was shed to forgive us of our sins. Then he resurrected to give us eternal life, to take us home. The same spirit that brought Christ from the grave, that raised him up, will also raise our bodies, will also raise our new bodies. I'm not sure how it all works, because the Bible does say that we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. I really don't believe that our soul, our living soul, will end up in the grave. I really don't think it will. I really don't believe that. The body goes back to the grave from where it came from the dust. But the soul goes to God who gave it. That's how I believe. But I believe in the resurrection power that he's talking about here. He said, if one would raise from the dead, and one did, does it help us? I believe it does. We get excited about the resurrection power. And the thing of it is that I don't want to do is only think about the resurrection power like on the sunrise service. It's a little bit like Christmas. We have Christmas once a year that we think about the birth of Christ. That is very important that we believe in the birth of Christ. It's very important that we believe at the cross, at the shedding of Jesus' blood. We have communion how many times a year? That's when we think about it. We need to think on these things every day. What we're bought with a price. What Jolene shared this morning, she was prayed for a lot by the church here and also by her family. But I told her yesterday, as I was thinking about it, you know, we think, well, God did her a favor, and I just love you, God, for that. That you took Jolene's pain away, my oldest daughter. That you took her pain away. Then I got to thinking, God showed that to me in my mind. I don't do you favors. You're bought. You're mine. I bought you with a price. That's just who I am. I'm God. I help you. I bought you with a great price. He owns us. He took ownership in our lives. That's who God is. You know what? One more thing I'm going to tell you about hell. You know, it's not God's will that one soul ends up in this place. Not one. That's our God. That's our God that we worship. Not one child, not one young person. Nobody in prison. Think about the thief on the cross that was dying with Jesus. There was one that was telling Jesus, he said, you know what? If you are truly who you say you are, get us down from this cross. And yourself. Save all of us. Here was one that looked at him and he says, hey, take it easy. These are my words. What we have done, we deserve to die on this cross. But the man in the middle has never done anything wrong. And he says, you know, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said, you're going, today is your day. And I believe this young man that was hanging on the cross, either middle-aged or older or young or whatever, but I believe he had a rough life growing up as a young boy. One time in his life, he was at the right place at the right time. And that was dying with Jesus. Guess where he's at today? The thief on the cross is in heaven with Christ. He promised him. How about the other one? I had to think already about the other one that did not recognize Christ, who he was. I believe, folks, about this hell. He wishes he would have 2,000 years later, that he wishes he would have made that decision. Because when we talk about eternity, it has no end. It is a ring completely, and you don't see where it was started and where it ended. It just keeps going. That's eternity. These are the messages my dad preached when I was a little boy, by the side of my little grandson, Bodie. I heard the messages of hell. I heard the messages. I was wayward for a while. But I guess what? I never forgot what I heard when I was a little boy. You need to teach your children about Christ. You need to teach your children about eternity. If you don't, you're not going to get it over TV. You're not going to get it over the internet. Mom and dads need to teach their children about eternity. It's coming. We're not going to stay here. We're going to be leaving one by one, or all of us, maybe when Christ comes, it's the end of it. Take your family with you. Now, I want to read about the good news. If you want to, turn with me in Revelation chapter 21. Also in Hebrews, there's a verse that I want to read. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that is judgment. Here's the good news. Here's what John saw. John was the only one that didn't die. He's the only one that died, I believe, in a natural death, but he suffered very, very much. John the Revelator, we call him. This is what he saw when he was on the pile in the Isle of Patmos. He was put there to die, and Jesus came to him. The king came to him, and he showed him these things. And John said what he saw was a new heaven and a new earth. Chapter 21 in Revelation. The first earth is where we walk on right here. It's what the roads we traveled to get to church. It says it passed away. Now also there was no more sea. I always wondered what that meant, there's no more sea. I believe back then the people saw the big oceans. Here's my thoughts. How can we get on the other side? How can we get on the other side of the sea? There's no more separation. John, he even uses his name here. A lot of places he don't. But here he does. He says, I saw the holy city. New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Don't you love how plain this is? We know about wedding. You remember, guys, you know when you were standing up here and your bride walked up the aisle. How beautiful. Your old heart was thumping. That's what he's referring to here. Something that us men understand it. He said it's like a adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men and women. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears. Now we cry. You know, when our loved ones leave, when our loved ones go on, because we're still here, we miss them. There's tears. And I wonder sometimes, somebody asked a question one time, somebody that's pretty close to our family, asked a question one time, do you think that we know the people that did not make heaven while we're there? We're standing and waiting, will they come, will they come, will they come? Why else would Jesus or God would wipe away tears in heaven? There's no tears in heaven. Well, we know the ones that are there. Bible says that we're known as we're known. I really believe we will. Verse 3 again. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. No more pain, Jolene. Pain is over. For I think probably most of us have a little pain here and there. But there is no more pain in heaven. And the former things are passed away. Things that we worry so much about. Things that we maybe can't sleep at night that we worry about. How are we going to pay our bills? How are we going to pay our credit cards off? What's going to happen? Maybe we lay awake at night where we should be praying, maybe for our families. Can't sleep. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that are athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. I love that. When Jesus, when he said, I am the Alpha and Omega, it is finished. It is done. When he was on the cross, when the people were making fun of him, they were challenging him to come down off of that cross. He looked out over the crowd and he said, forgive them. For they know not what they do. He said, it is finished. It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega. Verse 7 and 8. He that overcometh inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son and daughter. But he always puts this in his word. There is like, he challenges us about the two ways in life. The two roads. But, he says, the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It's the second death. Go down to 21. The 12th gate, let's start in 22. I saw no temple therein, For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. Today we totally depend on the sun. S-U-N. When the sun comes up in the morning, and it's just beautiful. You know, it's been cool in the morning. This first time you ever lived in the South over winter. And I found out that you have winter, but it's just not quite as cold. But it's just as long. Almost as long. You got to get the fire, get to get heat, you know, in the mornings. And the daytime, it gets beautiful. And you get a lot of sunshine here, and we love it. We both love the sunshine. It says, there's no need for a sun. There's no need for the moon to shine in it. Why not? For the glory of God did lighten it. The Lamb it is the light thereof. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor in it. The gate of it shall not be shut at all, day by day, at all by day. For there shall be no night there. There's no nights. You don't have to worry about thieves breaking in and stealing your stuff. You don't have to lock up. It says the gate's going to stay open. Why? It'll tell you why. It says, and the gate of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring in glory and honor of nations unto it. And there shall be in no wise. There shall be in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or make a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. They spend eternity with King Jesus. How beautiful. Couple of verses on 22 yet, about three verses I want to read. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on the other side, either side of the rivers, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, of the Lamb, shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their forehead. And there shall be no more night there, and there need no candles, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever, and forever, and forever, and forever. Spend eternity with Jesus. I tell you what, when you think about, when you think about all these things that are ahead of us, we should get a little excited. It should challenge us to be faithful. It should challenge us to go to see the ones that went before us. Like our forefathers, like our parents that believed in God. They believed in Him. Grandparents, they believed in Christ. They was looking forward. Dying is hard. Yes, it causes tears. But once we get home to really where we belong, to spend eternity with Christ, we're bought with a great price. I got my challenge this church. I believe you're Christians, but hold on. Hold on. Don't just write it down and put it in your hip pocket. Teach it. Teach it. I want to do that. I want to teach it and challenge my family. I want to challenge people around me. And I want to give prisoners hope. That is what I want to do with God's word. It's so powerful. It is so real. We're not just going to go to the grave and die like a dog. Then it's over. Life has only begun when we die. A new life. Let's go to heaven. Amen. That's where our peace and our joy, that's what Jesus died for. It's got to be beautiful. But what little we read about it in Revelation, but what he went through, that we can spend eternity with him. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled about dying because he's leaving. He says, you believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me, and do something about it. May God bless you this morning. And as I shared from my heart what I really believe, folks, that we may not be that far away. I know people die one by one. But, you know, I think as you study the Bible and you think about the end times, I really don't know how close we are. But I know one thing. We're a lot closer than when I was a little boy. Not only because of the years in my life, but things are taking shape. Things are taking shape. And be careful with the falling away in your own life. Things that might draw you away. If you can't handle it, get rid of it. Just hold on. Hold on to Christ. And you'll never be sorry. I guarantee it. You'll be happy. I like for closing, I like if we could stand. And I'll turn the time over. Do you want to come back up or should we close with that? Okay, why don't we stand? I'll have a word of prayer. And we'd like to sing that song, What a Day That Will Be, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your precious word. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the finished work of Calvary, the cross, and your blood, and the resurrection power. We also thank you that you did not stay here. You resurrected from the grave, then you stayed 40 days, then you ascended to heaven. We know that you're here in your spirit, and we also know that you're in heaven, interceding for each one of us. You want us, your word tells us that you want us to come to you boldly to the throne of grace if we have problems. Because you bought us. We're your children. We're your people. And you made it clear over and over again that you love us with your life. So much that you even died for us and shed your blood that we can be forgiven and been set free and then spend eternity with you. Lord, we love you. We adore you. Thank you for every part of the service, for the songs where you were lifted up and glorified in praise. The Sunday school hour, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Take glory to yourself for this service. Bless these people with your highest blessing. And we give you praise. We give you honor. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Somebody